When you're out on a stage performing, you're in show business. And I don't think that it was ever Donald's or my intention to be in show business. We wanted to be musicians and to make music.
To some degree, we wanted to get back to more complex harmony and go back to some of the jazz harmony that we'd grown up with, and there was also some interesting things happening in with, you know, what they call fusion. Asia, when all my time dancing is
through, I run to you. Hi, I'm Walter Becker of Steely Dan.
I'm Donald Fagen in the studio for Steely Dan's Asia.
By 1977, Steely Dan had firmly established themselves as reliable fixtures in the world of rock music, and this was despite the fact that Steely Dan hadn't played live in several years and would keep that trend going for 19 full years. The two central characters, Walter Becker and Donald Fagen, did everything they could to avoid becoming rock stars. Almost from its inception in 1972, as a six-piece group, Steely Dan seemed to be in a constant state of flux. By 1975, Steely Dan was officially a duo, bringing in countless sidemen to augment the music of keyboardist and singer Donald Fagen and guitarist bass player Walter Becker. As Steely Dan evolved into simply an outlet for Becker and Fagen's studio fantasies, the royalty checks kept rolling in, but none of their accomplishments could compare with the eventual success of the album Asia, which went all the way to number 3 on the album chart, lasting on the charts for more than a year. After its release in September 1977, Asia became the first Steely Dan album to sell over 1 million copies, going on to top the 3 million mark within a year of release. Asia ranks at number 145 on Rolling Stone magazine's top 500 albums of all time. Even though they used the same producer and most of the same musicians who had helped them record that previous album, The Royal Scam, when it came time to do Asia, Steely Dan was ready for a new direction. Here's Donald Fagen with me in the studio.
It's really hard to say looking back at it, but to some degree, we wanted to get back to more complex harmony and go back to some of the jazz harmony that we'd grown up with. And there was also some interesting things happening in what they call fusion. It's the beginning of the fusion era between musicians who seemed to be successfully adapting some of the techniques of blues and rock to jazz and vice versa. And we hired a lot of those musicians who were interested in that fusion. Steve Gadd, who really invented a new kind of drumming, really, in those days. And I think the album reflected a sort of a wish on a part of players to do something more sophisticated, more mature, and expand the vocabulary of pop music. And aside from perhaps the first album, which we were still kind of wondering if we were, you know, writing pop songs or personal songs in a way, or there was still a sort of a merging of the two. I think after that, we really wrote to entertain ourselves. And I guess, you know, we got bored with what we were doing and wanted to do something different.
Was it book of numbers and your remedies? One of these, looking so hot, Ray, and they tell you so.
Steely Dan's Black Cow was named after what they thought was a chocolate soda drink. With the release of Asia, the word spread that Steely Dan was actually going on the road for the first time in over 3 years. And while they did even go so far as to rehearse this planned tour, it was eventually scrapped due to a lack of preparation. As Walter Becker told me, Steely Dan always preferred making records over touring anyway.
The way we did it, we were kind of the auteurs of the record, in the sense that a director is the, the author of his film. And no matter what happens, you don't have that on stage. And so maybe it was a little less rewarding than making a record. And also a record is something that lasts, you know, and performance doesn't. So I think that as much fun as it is to perform live, and also, and here's another thing. When you're out on a stage performing, you're in show business. And I don't think that it was ever Donald's or my intention to be in show business. We wanted to be musicians and to make music. So performing in front of audiences in that particular way that you do when you're playing in front of 5 or 10,000 people Took us a little away from that and was not quite what we had in mind.
Avoiding the road wasn't the only thing Steely Dan did to keep as far away from the limelight as possible. According to Donald Fagen, Steely Dan also purposely kept their faces off of their album covers.
We wanted to keep ourselves out of it as far as we were trying to sort of avoid any kind of image making, really. And we wanted the music to stand on itself. And it goes along with the whole thing about it, you know, our problem with the spectacle of popular music, I think. And, you know, I think that probably we were just much too, looking back on it, could have been much looser about the whole thing. But, you know, that's what happened, so...
We'll be right back.
Asia. The Steely Dan song Home at Last is based on Homer's The Odyssey. Ultimately, there were many people responsible for the success of Asia, but one person that Donald Fagen especially remembers for his important contributions to the arrangements on the project was the heralded jazz horn player Tom Scott.
We consulted with him about the sort of thing we wanted. Sometimes we'd sing him some lines that we wanted in a certain spot. It was really a collaborative thing, and then he would fill in a lot of the voices, and you know, he's a real expert arranger for small bands and well, any kind of band really, and he took it very seriously and tried to do a great job, and he really knew how to match the kind of harmony that was in the rhythm section with the horn charts, and it really sounds like it was really of a piece, although a lot of it wasn't planned until the tracks were done, but yeah, he really did a great job.
With energy, stacked harmony choruses, and tasty guitar on the song Peg. Top 40 Radio was never smarter or more elegant than Steely Dan made it for the entirety of the 70s decade. Up next, Donald Fagen tells why the economic guitar solos of his Steely Dan partner, the late Walter Becker, were always Donald's favorites. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for the Steely Dan Asia.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Donald Fagen of Steely Dan.
Thanks, Donald. I'm Redbeard. The timeless Steely Dan album, Asia, universally hailed to this day as a rock high watermark. Even upon release in September 1977, Asia was recognized immediately as superb sonically, garnering a Grammy Award for Best Engineered Recording. And the song arrangements really spotlighted the world-class musicians on this album. I asked the late co-founder, guitarist Walter Becker, if Steely Dan could account for doing anything differently in the studio for making Asia.
Well, no, it was the same process that we went through every time. And I think, you know, we were very fortunate. We got some really great performances from musicians. We took a long time doing it, so things that didn't work out, we just kept throwing them away until we got something really special, and that's why it took so long to make that record. And but you know, in the end, people always came through and did something really wonderful. And it just, you know, sometimes when you go into a studio, you can go into a studio with what you think is a great song and a great bunch of musicians, and for some reason or other, on that particular day, nothing happens, you know. And the same bunch of musicians, the same song on another day will be great. And having the luxury of taking the days that nothing happens and just saying, well, forget about this. And, you know, we can do better than this. And going back in until you get what you want made it possible to get a very satisfying set of performances from everybody.
Thank you. The song Josie from Steely Dan on the album Asia has such a great groove. A grand total of 22 musicians performed on Asia. Walter Becker once told me that he believed the reason that Steely Dan had evolved into a duo using so many outside musicians was because Walter wasn't a very good jazz player. Now, knowing that Walter can be a bit self-critical about his own chops, I decided to ask his partner, Donald Fagen of Steely Dan, for Donald's opinion on Walter's abilities.
Self-loathing is really our specialty. He is a great guitar player. He doesn't have the kind of technique that Barney Kessel or someone has, but he's very inventive, and you know, his touch is fantastic. And you know, I always thought that his solos were really my favorites, even though we, you know, I mean, we're using the best players in the country, and I think that his even so, that his playing at least stylistically is so perfectly matched to you know, what we were trying to do.
The Steely Dan song with the intriguing title of Deacon Blues contains the refrain, "They got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose." So I asked singer-keyboardist Donald Fagen about it.
The idea of that song was about a kind of alienated kid in the suburbs who is looking for some sort of alternative values and turns to jazz and hip culture, you know, as something to kind of grab onto. And the basic idea is there's a kind of culture of losers, which he'd sort of rather be part of than sort of the general way of life in America. And, you know, they've got a name for the winners in the world. The losers should have some sort of franchise as well. I guess it's really back to the word attitude, and the name which he has chosen, which conveys a certain power, is Deacon Blues.
Wild gambler, that
Still to come, Donald Fagen shares a surprising admission when revealing the blueprint to the title song performance of Asia by Steely Dan. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear more rare interviews with Donald and the late Walter Becker at inthestudio.net. I'm Red Beard. You're in the studio for Steely Dan's first million seller, Asia.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Donald Fagen of Steely Dan.
Thanks again, Donald. I'm Red Beard. Before his death, Walter Becker of Steely Dan reluctantly conceded my contention of universal acclaim for the Asia album, but Walter's modesty made Becker stop short of taking credit for Asia's big popularity and sales in 1977.
You know, that was a particular time, if you recall, that's when Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album was out, and that was a particular time when people were just selling lots of records. You know, there's times in the business when a hit record will sell X number, and there's other times when, for reasons known and unknown, that same level of hit record will sell 3X or 4X times as many records. And that was one of those times when you were going to sell twice as many records as you would have sold 2 years before.
By the time Steely Dan's Asia was released in fall 1977, rock music and the associated record labels were enjoying unprecedented success. Since art and commerce make strange bedfellows, the musicians were jockeying for their fair share of the party favors, while the record labels were trying to hold on to the profits. Many of rock's biggest stars ended up enjoined in nasty lawsuits during this time, and Steely Dan was moving from black cow to cash cow.
There was some trepidation at that time about the fact that we were trying to renegotiate our deal with these guys, right? And we had been in the studio for a long time, and we were a little afraid that at some point they would come in and take the tapes away from us. But as it turned out, nothing like that ever happened. So those fears, when people are in the studio and things start to run on a little bit, and if there is some sort of a failure to communicate going on between the label and the artist, you do start to think about, what might be a good safe place for the masters, that would be known only to yourselves and stuff like that.
Generally, I would say that ABC was, they didn't mind the fact that we didn't tour that much because each album sold more records than the last. It seemed like the more invisible we were, the more albums we'd sell. So that wasn't much of a problem, I think. They complained about the budgets, but not that hard. Not that hard. They realized that, a lot of people go in the studio and, they'll spend, some $100,000, some $200,000, and then some $500,000 and come out with something you can't sell. So if we went in and spent a lot of money, at least they knew that we'd come out with something good. So, there was some trouble over it, but not that much. And eventually we got an offer from Warner Brothers. So we actually signed with them, I think, while we were making Asia, I think, or just before, the idea being we'd have one more album to do and then go over to Warner Brothers. Turned out we had two more to do, and there was an oversight about how many we had to do. And by the time we got to Warner Brothers, there was no more Steely Dan.
The title song to Steely Dan's Asia is a veritable tour de force, and it's even more impressive when you realize that the song Asia was done in one take.
We figured we'd rehearse it for a day because it was quite difficult. But when we got to the studio, it was this long chart. It must have been 6 or 7 pages, and we just decided to run it down once. And Steve Gadd is aside from being a fantastic drummer, he's a fantastic sight reader. Didn't really need to rehearse, and neither did the rest of the band. They were really good readers, Larry Carlton and Michael Omardian and Chuck Rainey, and they just went through the first take, and there was a little mark for on the chart for Steve Gadd to ad lib through a certain part, couple different parts, which we figured we'd talk about and so on. But they just ripped through it on the first take, and we just took it.
Up on the hill, people never stand. They just don't care. Chinese music and the banyan tree. Here I go.
for my musician friend. That was the first take in the studio of the title song to Asia, played straight through, real time, no edits. Spectacular. This edition of In the Studio is dedicated to Walter Becker. Our heartfelt condolences to his wife, children, family, friends, and to his musical partner in Steely Dan since college, Donald Fagen. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest, Donald Fagen, and God bless the soul of Walter Becker. In the Studio was written and produced by yours truly for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2017. All rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.